correct. I'm born in Switzerland, and then I moved to Paris at the age of 17 to study the harp. I became a classical concert harpist, and that was my first career between around the age of 25 to 33. I had a short but very successful career. I signed with EMI Classics in 1999 and toured the world. I was represented by Columbia artists until in 1994, unexpectedly, of course, mysterious hand injury forced me to stop everything at the very height of everything going super well. And I didn't know what to do. I had no idea. I had never taken photos at all myself. I was the subject of photography, covers and magazine interviews and things like that, and had really enjoyed that atmosphere, being in the studio and being photographed. And I developed some sort of interest in it, but I'd never taken any pictures. And back in that day, people didn't have phones with cameras, and it was just totally different. And I had an epiphany, essentially, after 1 month of complete panic and seeing a lot of doctors. I decided I will become myself a fashion photographer. And as soon as I decided that, the whole tragedy of this incident of no longer being able to play kind of just got swept away. And I started learning, and I didn't want to become an assistant or go back to school or something like that. My ego was like through the roof at that time. And so I decided I'm just going to buy a book. I'm going to read how all this works, and just did it all by trial and error myself. So that is like how it all started back in 1994, which is 30 years ago.
Wow. Did you ever model before, before you did photography or did music? Did you ever were you a talent in front of the camera as a specimen or a subject?
Very briefly during my studies at the Paris Conservatory, I was with some modeling agencies, and I did a few things. And then later in the late stage of my harp career, I was then again approached by modeling agencies to do brand endorsements and things like that. So yes, I had a little bit of experience with that, and I was definitely very interested in men's fashion as a young guy in my early 20s. I definitely loved Gianni Versace and Armani and all that. That was the time of American Gigolo, and the men's fashion was at a height in that time. So I was definitely very inspired by that.
And with your hand injury, can you go into depth how you got the hand injury or how you injured yourself rather?
No one knows. It was a very mysterious thing that developed from one day to the other. At that time, I was literally practicing 10 hours a day, every single day. I would compare it to if you're an Olympic ice skater or runner. In order to be at that level, it's an enormous amount of physical practicing. And one morning I got up, started my normal warm-up routine and all that, and my thumb just didn't really function as normal, and I got a little scared. But I said, okay, I just needed a break, I need a day off. Took a day off. Second day was worse. I knew something was definitely very wrong because this never happened. I saw a bunch of doctors, specialists, brain specialists, all that, to see what if there's a nerve problem or whatever, because there was not really like a carpal tunnel or anything like normal for that type of situation. And it was never really clearly understood. I was told by a couple people that specialize in this type of motion functions that it can happen when there's a very high repetition of a very specific movement, like a computer glitch. In a way, I interpreted it as like God came down with a lock, with a key, and just said, enough, you've done your your thing and time to move on. And so that's my interpretation of it. And I have no regrets. I think that there was sadness for a moment, but I actually, probably from my personality, I am more suited for the rock and roll lifestyle of a photographer. Being creative, being a classical musician is very rigid. That's a very intense, focused reinterpretation of musical works that have been written hundreds of years ago or a long time ago. And it's not as creative as you would imagine. It's actually more of an interpretation of existing material. While as a photographer, I can do whatever I want. I have a blank canvas and I just invent my projects.
And speaking of your projects, you started out in the studio and that's where you met Indrani, right? In the studio, weren't you a photo editor at one time?
I was never a photo editor. Indrani was my photo editor. Early on, I met Indrani and she became my girlfriend. And she was very talented editing, post-production. And early on, that was something that I was very interested in, the whole computer post-production, way before Photoshop was a thing. And so it's true that the first maybe 10 years of my photography was very studio-oriented, very much in an environment that I could completely control the lighting and everything. And it was just probably about 10 years into it that I started branching out, experimenting with my first digital camera in 2002. I became a spokesperson for Fujifilm. And around 2004, I completely abandoned film and started only working with digital capture. So that time was actually very interesting, that transition. Britney Spears was one of the first photo shoots I've done, fully digital, and it was one of my most successful projects in my entire career. I do really love, I consider myself a nerd. I love all the technical aspects of photography.
And speaking of the technical aspects of photography, what are your thoughts on AI versus reality when it comes to lighting? Because I know that AI has a lot of programs like Lightroom that can actually, you already know it should continue the aperture of your digital film, or your digital frame rather. It can do all sorts of things, right? Can saturate it. What are your thoughts about that? The way that AI is allowing us to manipulate these photos so much more easier versus when you had to set up the lights. Do you feel like you still do need those lights all the time? Or do you feel like AI is coming up to date where it's up, you know, up to the moment where it can actually handle those things?
I have not changed the way I work in the last 30 years much at all. The initial approach that I developed very early on, that's what I do. I use AI extremely rarely, possibly if I need something that doesn't exist, a robotic element or something like that, but I do not use AI. However, it's a very interesting question because my work, even from 20 years ago, 25 years ago, let's take Dangerously in Love. It's probably one of my most famous covers, Beyoncé's first solo album. And nowadays, when the kids on TikTok, they look at these images from my early 2000s, let's say, and they all say, oh, that looks like AI, which in fact, of course, is very funny because no such thing existed. Photoshop barely existed at that time. I take it as a compliment. I think in a way they're saying I'm the AI. So that's pretty funny. Maybe the AI and I have some sort of bond between an aesthetic that, you know, maybe I previewed what's going to happen. I think that's maybe in a positive way to look at it.
And what can you remind us what you did during the Beyoncé shoot? I read that you basically lent her your jeans.
That is a true story. Yes, I told that story many times. In fact, on a phone call right before the shoot, Beyonce mentioned a diamond campaign that I've done at the time with Leticia Costa that was all over the place. And she said she really was in love with that image, but she wanted it something like that, smaller and on her. And whatever that meant, I didn't really know at that moment, but I said, okay, well, let me process all this. And when she arrived at the studio with her mother, Tina, styling, I noticed that there was a diamond top. And I brought that, I grabbed it, I brought it to Beyonce and I said, that is actually exactly what you mentioned and we could work with that. And she said, yeah, but we don't have bottoms for it. My mother only brought skirts and she felt it looked too prom or red carpety or something like that. And she wasn't really into it. I said, I feel like if you pair it with denims, it would look very cool because it would create that contrast. And she said, I love that idea, but we didn't bring any denims. My answer was, well, you could try mine. And she went for it. I literally took off my denims. Luckily, I had another pair. And fit her perfectly. And the rest is history. So that's the famous jeans story. And of course, I still have these jeans. I kept them and I got actual collectors, art collectors that want to buy that Beyonce print and that offered me like a couple hundred thousand dollars for these jeans, but I'm not selling them, of course.
All right. And also I was going to ask you, a lot of the things that you've worked on in the past, they have a lot of production value to it. So I noticed that we spoke about lighting. What type of camera did before I move on, what kind of camera did you use when you shot Beyonce? Do you remember? Was it a Mark D or?
I shot Beyonce with a film-based camera. Actually, it's a Fuji GX683. I worked with Fujifilm for over 25 years. They sponsored many of my events. I helped them develop cameras. I currently use the flagship GFX camera, which is a 102 megapixel Fujifilm camera that I was part of the development team. It's the best camera hands down ever made. It's incredible. It has ergonomic features that are absolutely incredible. It's very quick. So at the time, of course, that I shot Beyonce, that's 21 years ago, I was still shooting with film. However, I used also Fujifilm Provia transparency film for that, and it was scanned and then post-produced on the computer. But yeah, Fujifilm is my go-to brand. They're amazing.
And then do you ever build out any of your sets? Are you ever responsible for set design, or is that someone else in your team that does it for you?
I art direct my sets. I use various artists for that. Sometimes the sets are done in post with images that I shot another day. Could be skies, it could be city backgrounds. Photo composition is something that I have embraced very early on. For the last 30 years, I've been intensely photo compositing. I think it's really interesting is that sometimes a composited image looks more real, looks more like we were actually there than an image that's shot on location with the actual background there. You can never tell. There's so much that goes into these manipulations live in camera while you're doing it, whether you use certain tricks like flares and different kind of 3D surround lighting. All of that, sometimes I don't even know. I try to remember, how did I do that? Was that a post effect? What did I do it in camera? I can approach it in many different ways. I'm technically quite capable, I think. I have many, many, many tools in my box. So, yeah, there's a wide range.
And can you walk us through the time that you shot David Bowie? What was that experience like?
I would say easily, hands down, working with David Bowie was probably the most exciting experience of my earlier days as a photographer. I had met Iman because she hired me to shoot her book cover, his wife, just a few weeks before I met, a few days actually before I met David. She called me out of the blue. She asked me to shoot the cover of her upcoming coffee table book, I Am Iman. We worked with Alexander McQueen. It was a very quick turnaround. And a few days later, she rang the doorbell and she said, she came for an editing session and she said, I'm here with David. And I had no idea what's going on. And in walks David Bowie and they went straight to the light table. It was all like prepared with the loops and all that. And they looked at the film. And then after about 3 minutes, David Bowie turned around to me and said, I really, really like what I'm seeing here. Would you like to shoot my next album cover? 2 weeks later, 9/11 happened and New York was, of course, a big mess. And I thought, this is it. It's not going to happen. He's going to forget about it. However, like another month passed and he called me on the phone at my studio and he said, you want to come over to my recording studio? I want to play you some tracks. I want to shoot that cover in the next few days. I went over there. He played me this unreleased, unfinished tracks. It was just him and his engineer, Tony Visconti, in the studio. And he was sitting in the window smoking cigarettes and explaining the album and all that. It was like an amazing experience to begin with. And he asked me, at the time I was strictly shooting everything in color. And visionary as Bowie was, he said, I think we should do this all in black and white. And I was first like, well, that's not what I do. And he said, you're going to excel at it. Just trust me. So, I went for it. I still shot everything on color film, on Fuji Provia film. But then all of it was processed in black and white. And just working with him, he's so intelligent and so multifaceted and so intelligent, just beyond what you would expect. Very knowledgeable in photography, was very knowledgeable in post-production, computers, everything. It taught me a lot, and it was definitely the experience of my lifetime in terms of discovering this whole new possibilities. And now in the art world, I work with over 80 galleries. My portraits of David Bowie and the series of the Wolves and all that are definitely the most successful of them all.
And then you had an opportunity to shoot another album art for Mariah Carey, Emancipation of Mimi, which is one of her iconic covers where she's draped in all that gold dress. And then I noticed when I read about the fact that you said that Mariah didn't like the dress. It was too long and she decided to have the stylist and herself cut it. Did you witness that happen in real time? Or is that something they did? Is that something that you actually thought it would be a great idea for her to do as well?
I don't think she disliked the dress. She liked the dress a lot. I think she just wanted to make it more sexy. She told me when she walked into the studio that she'd gotten in the best shape of her life. She worked out really hard and she said so much work to go to the gym every day and all that. So she wanted to show it off. That's really the spirit. And she told the stylist to cut some pieces open and he was petrified because obviously, as a stylist, he's not in the business of cutting up dresses, designer dresses. So she just grabbed a pair of bedazzled scissors. And before you knew it, within seconds, she had just cut these strategic openings for her legs to be more presented, I suppose. And yes, I was in the styling room when that happened. And it was quite a moment. I love Mariah. She is so fun.
Then you also have some other beautiful imagery that we all love, Paris Hilton, because she's full of life and spunk, right? And but Paris is also she's such a light too when it comes to young people, especially what she's doing right now with some of the legal things she's handling. But what I think is so awesome about her shoot is that she looks very chic. And you captured her at night, you captured her in a room with all these patterns. How did that all, was the room of the patterns, before I forget, was that room actually another photo from another shoot day, like you stated before, or did you actually shoot her in a room that you built out that had all that wallpaper on it?
I suppose you talk about the golden bathroom.
Yes, the golden bathroom.
Yes, that's completely real. That's actually in Corinne Buckley's Greater Garbo mansion in Bel Air. She's a good friend of mine, and she let me shoot Paris in her incredible home. And, that's completely real. There is no compositing or anything like that. I worked with Paris twice. I did a very big photo shoot with her in 2000, and then we kind of lost track. And suddenly at the end of 2023, I got a DM from Paris, and she said she rediscovered those photos and she wanted to do something new. So I came up with this idea of Paris in Wonderland. That was the theme of this new shoot. And I asked Corinne if we could use that incredible property, it's the original Greta Garbo mansion. And, yeah, it turned out really great. It was published all over the world, and it's now one of the centerpieces of my exhibitions. Actually right now in Palm Beach at the Jennifer Balkos Gallery, it's in the window, so it's stopping the traffic there. And I just love Paris. And what you mentioned is very correct. Her efforts, in Congress and all that are just amazing, very commendable. I adore her.
And then let's pivot to Paris's, I guess, her old boss, Kim Kardashian. What was it like shooting with Kim Kat?
I never seen anyone looking more beautiful at 7 in the morning with no makeup, just walking in some sweats. The first time I met Kim was on the set of my old Bravo show, Double Exposure. And she was just mesmerizingly beautiful. Really could just breathtaking. And I then shot her again a year later for Keep a Child Alive, which is a charity campaign that I worked with a lot. And she was more grown up at that moment. But Kim is incredibly gorgeous and just highly photogenic.
And what was it like working with Ice Spice for the Paper Magazine cover? I feel like when I saw your Paper Magazine cover, I was super excited for one reason. I love the contrast of someone of your stature working with a new artist at the time. I felt like she still was a new artist to me. She was just breaking into the industry. She worked with Nicki Minaj. But when I saw your cover, it just reminded me of the great work from, like you said before, where people thought your work was AI. To me, that's when your work was really, that's when photography was on its game, so to speak. So photography really showcased sharpness, clarity, composition, you know, all different saturation. And I felt like when I saw that Paper Mag cover, I was super excited about it because I was like, oh my God, thank God. I feel like everything in the recording industry that we get across our digital desk at the moment are all so, it's just so, it feels very like lifestyle shot. It feels very like their friend could have shot it. It feels like some of it is really, really hip and cool, but some of it is also, I've noticed that sometimes if we use some of the high res versions of some of the work, and not to say all of it is bad. It's really beautiful work at most times, but the work that I'm used to are people like you, like Dave LaChapelle, Steve Mizell, like all these amazing photographers that really understand the importance of lighting, the importance of just having, you know, a good camera, having certain megapixels, understanding composition, as we stated earlier. And so when I saw that, I was super excited and stoked because it gave me a bit of joy because I want to see photography taken back to the level of what it used to be. I feel like the photography and the photos that I see that's pushed out into the media nowadays, particularly on people's albums covers, they kind of pale in comparison to what you've done in the past. And that's why I feel like your work is still iconic to this day, right?
Thank you. I absolutely love working with new artists. That's a passion of mine. I had also shot the first Vogue shoot with Billie Eilish. just before the Ice Spice, and I constantly work with new artists. Just shot Tori Kelly. I do agree with you that the whole social media revolution back that started around 2008, I would say, had affected the publishing industry, advertising, editorial, a lot. We always had those kind of more spontaneous, more snapshot looking styles, of course, in fashion photography, which was never my thing. I can enjoy it here and there. I definitely think there are these very raw type of photographers that create sometimes great images. It's not what I do. I like a very perfected, I think of my celebrities as gods and goddesses, as almost a religious icons interpretation of life. It's a lot of fantasy in it. And as I said before, I haven't changed my style in the last 30 years all that much. I try to get better and better at it, but I am not really abandoning these aesthetics that are based on my classical music background. I think that taught me quite a classic aesthetic. I like composition, lighting, and all that to be stylized and sculptural, very perfected, almost frozen in perfection. That's something I actively seek to create. And maybe that's why the AI comparison comes up all the time. When the Ice Spice cover came out, of course, lots of people said, oh, that's AI, which there wasn't not a drop of AI in any of that. It's just lighting, it's just angles and composition and so on and so forth. But I'm thrilled that you like it. And I there's definitely a lot of the younger artists that are getting in touch, that are wanting me to shoot their covers, and the labels are all, you know, coming around because they realize that just getting a friend or someone with a phone or some sort of camera shooting everything, it can work, because if you take 30 million pictures following a celebrity around day and night, everything that they do, there got to be a good picture in it somewhere. We've seen that with the big stars that all have staff that takes pictures around the clock. Are these really iconic images? I'm not sure. They're interesting. I feel creating starting from the blank canvas and creating almost like a painting-like portrait, to me, that's where my passion is.
Right. And it's like, I mean, I really appreciate raw art, but like also appreciate the technical skills that you need to be able to put together a nice frame, right? So, like, even in the Ice Spice picture, you had a lot of backlighting on her. And I feel like a lot of photographers nowadays, they barely do backlighting, hair lighting. Like, they, you know, it's just not there. But speaking of new artists, have you ever heard of work with Dolce, the rapper? I think the new rapper Dolce should be excellent for a specimen for yours.
Yes, Dolce hosted one of my exhibitions in Atlanta. She actually came to Atlanta to host the exhibition, and we're friends. And yes, I hope to work with her really, really soon. I love her.
Yeah, I think the two of you will put together something amazing, because she has a nice sense of style. What are the key ingredients to you that make a memorable moment worth capturing?
I think every time I pick up the camera, I set out to sort of document pop culture. I consider myself a documentarian of pop culture, more so even than a photographer. I like to capture these moments in time that become the defining moments of that era. And interestingly enough, as I photograph pop culture, sometimes the resulting work becomes the pop culture. So I love playing with these elements.
And have you ever shot, I know you do a lot of things in fashion and advertising, and you've done beautiful work for, I mean, Skyvaka was one of my favorite. I think Skyvaka was one of our, I think Skyvaka is probably one of my all-time favorite adult beverage campaigns. And those pictures, those imageries, I mean, I feel like you really did an excellent job that campaign. I feel like the Lancome or L'Oreal campaigns you've done in the past too, those are stunning. How did you fall into the advertising world? Were you represented at the time? Are you still represented right now? How does that work in your world during that era?
I was early on in my photography career, I was given opportunities to shoot some very big campaigns, starting with the diamond.com that I mentioned that Beyonce had really liked and wanted to do something similar. And from there, I went on to shoot a lot of Pepsi, Hugo Boss, Nike, Shiseido, Lancome. It was really something that just came to me. I didn't particularly solicit it. And of course, I work with a number of representatives that negotiate these things and all that. But my interest in the photography world is not just one thing or another. Of course, I'm very focused right now at this moment in the last few years on my art career. Working with art galleries and museums is definitely my number one passion, but I'm equally interested in producing new images. So I work with different people on different things.
And I noticed in your career, it's a very illustrious one. I've also noticed that I didn't see any landscape photos, and I was going to ask you, do you have any landscape photos I've seen cityscapes from you, but landscapes like open fields or any animals, have you ever dabbled in that world where you've shot anything of those natures or not?
I've done this in for the purpose of creating elements for shoots with people, with either fashion or celebrities, not on its own really that much. My interest is the personality, the talent. What it could be a physical aspect, a beautiful model, an interesting looking person that's maybe a DJ, or I would say as long as there is a point of interest that relates to pop culture, that's a great subject for me. It could be an athlete, it could be a politician. If it's pop culture, it's a Marcus Klinko subject.
And speaking of talent, I know that a lot of our readers, a lot of us, we're shutterbugs as well. So I know a lot of them are going to want to know, and I actually get this from somebody that's a huge fan of yours. They asked on our team, they said, how do you interact with talent who doesn't have a lot of time and or also doesn't want to be there in the first place? Have you ever experienced that without getting too much detail and getting you into trouble rather? But
I will prepare myself for every session so that I am ready to handle any situation. But I'm also, as much as I will plan it out and prepare and have my concepts ready, I also stay very open to the spur of the moment. And I will read the room and I will go with the opportunities and create the very best moments that I can. I think if someone doesn't want to be there, usually they're not going to be there. I think that the subjects that celebrities or models or whomever I work with, they are also prepared. And it's generally a very, very positive experience. It's interesting. Sometimes certain actors are less comfortable with the frozen image, the photograph versus the movie or the video, because a lot of their first and foremost talent is the motion or the joke or whatever it is, and the frozen moment sometimes scares them. Musicians are sometimes easier to shoot than actors. But it depends. It really depends on the people. I worked, for instance, with Keanu Reeves, who was so amazing because he understood intuitively exactly what to do. And I just recently thought about my shoot with Beyonce, and I realized there was a great deal of telepathic communication between me and her. It was really this understanding of what is needed to create that stratospheric launch of her first solo album. And it was just like a synchronization between her and my camera that was unprecedented.
Out of all the things that you've accomplished in the industry, is there anything that you ever, that you regretted that you didn't do?
There certainly are people that I have not photographed yet, which I regret, and I still want to, if possible, want to catch up. Some of them are no longer with us. Like, I would have loved to shoot Elvis Presley, of course. He's a huge inspiration of mine. I recently had the opportunity to take over as an art installation the original Elvis Presley suite in Las Vegas at the Westgate. So the former Elvis Presley suite is now called the Marcus Klinko Icon Suite and features over 60 works of mine, which is a great honor. And then, of course, someone like Madonna. I never shot Madonna, believe it or not. And I'm still hoping that that's going to happen. So as many as I have shot, there's always new ones and there's always someone who got away. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm with you there.
What does it feel like to know that some of your prints are, they can go from anywhere from like $4,000 to $300,000? Like, what does that feel like when you sell one of your prints for almost $300,000? Like, what is that? Like, can you run us through that process?
The money aspect is always nice, but I think it's the fact to be one of the most thought after celebrity portrait creators in the gallery world. I think that's what really makes me proud. I am also very excited that people like The Weeknd or Robert Kinsel, who's the CEO of Warner Music Group, and he used to run YouTube, and people like that, Beyonce herself has 10 prints somewhere in her many homes, I suppose. That makes me extremely excited. Tom Cruise wanted it, Katie Holmes, and this is really fun to know that people that can have anything that they want choose my work to hang over their bed.
And what are any other projects that you're working on that you can speak to right now that you can tell us about?
I'm working on a new TV documentary series that is in process, and I can't reveal too much of it, but I'm very excited. I'm also launching a weekly podcast, which is hopefully going to start in January, that will be a very interesting celebrity type podcast where celebrities come onto the podcast to discuss the photo shoots we've done together. I can say one thing, I'm going to start. My first guest will be Holly Madison. I love her. She's extremely fun. I just shot her 2 weeks ago, and the works were unveiled during Art Basel Miami for the first time. And she's such a beautiful and extremely intelligent subject, and she actually has an incredibly successful podcast herself. So that's another thing. That I'm working on a new book, all kinds of these type of projects to allow people that enjoy my work to know more about the behind the scenes of all of that.
And as such an iconic photographer and vet in the game, what words of wisdom would you offer someone that was trying to gain as much notoriety as you have right now?
Keyword would definitely be patience. I think that the difficulty nowadays, even more so than back when I started, the fact that there are so many people that are considering themselves a photographer, millions and millions of people, anyone with a phone is a photographer, right? So you have to really understand that things may not happen overnight. It took me a while, even though my career actually developed quickly, and I was lucky. I was given some great opportunities. But you're only as good as your last shoot. That's also the other thing that's really important to remember. You can very quickly destroy a legacy by putting out substandard work or just being lazy. And I think you can never rest on your laurels. It's a cutthroat business. It's very difficult. And if you're doing it for any other reason than your passion, I think then you're in the wrong business. It cannot be something because you want to be famous or you want to make a lot of money or because you want to meet cute girls. All those are not reasons that are valid, in my opinion. You got to really love the craft and you got to be willing to put in a lot of effort, a lot of blood, sweat and tears to maintain and to break through and keep up. So that's what I would say would be my number one advice, to be patient.
And is there anything else that we haven't spoke about community service wise or any philanthropic endeavors you're working on? Are you working with any organizations right now?
I worked intensively with some charities, including Keep a Child Alive. That's Alicia Keys. Wonderful project, and I supported her with that. I photographed her and Kim Kardashian and Swiss Beats and just a number of really great people for that. Selena, the tennis player. So just continuing working by giving back. I'm also developing a program for interns and young people who don't have access necessarily to all the equipment. And working with some organizations, putting that together, that will all be showcased on my podcast and the upcoming documentary series. I think you will hear a lot more about all of these giving back actions.
Awesome. So yes, it was a pleasure speaking with you. I would love to, if you have time, I would love to talk to you about a few other people that you shot, like Lady Gaga, like what was it like working with her? But for the most part, I have everything we need.
Awesome. I really enjoyed this conversation. You're very knowledgeable about the industry.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, the entertainment industry has been always a part of my life and my heart. And I love to see photographers, especially some of the ones that are from certain times and eras, and to see you have such a just to see you consistently stay in the public eye, and also just consistently push out great work, is I just want to say kudos to that. Like, you're such an inspiration. Like I said before, like, it really woke my senses back up, my visual senses, so to speak, when I saw your cover with I just love the lighting in there. I love lighting. I feel like if you understand and know lighting, then that's a very technical aspect that some people just can't even learn, right? Like, some people just know how to take a photo with natural light, with no strobes, with no slaves to camera. Like, and you know how to do all of it, right?
I do combine the natural light and the flash and other sources of continuous lighting. It's very interesting. I would compare it with cooking. If you're a chef and you're in a Michelin star restaurant, you know how to balance all these ingredients, and you may have to go to the market yourself sometimes to really pick that right tomato or that right whatever it is. And nowadays, I actually do a lot of my lighting myself, all of my lighting myself. I used to have a large team of people and I would say, put it there, do this and do that. But I realized when I actually do it myself, when I make that physical effort to actually rig up the lights myself, there is a different consciousness about it than when you just sort of direct a team to do it.
Yes, being hands-on does make a... What I loved about your photography, you can see it. You can tell that you're hands-on. There's so many unsung heroes that you can appreciate what they do, because you can tell they're hands-on just by the composition of the photo, the set design, how meticulous things are. Even though they'll have a lot of the imagery you shot for Vogue and all those other interview magazine, all the other top magazines, the work is so beautiful. It's so classic. It's so timeless. And it's like just to witness that you're still going strong is super exciting. And so that's why we really, really love what you're doing. We've always been huge admirers of you. So that's why when we had an opportunity to reach out to you, I was like, oh my God, we got to speak to him. Like, this is great. So I appreciate you taking time out of your day.